Hey, good evening, church. I'm coming to you again from the upper room here at my place, and want to share with you a song the Lord dropped in my spirit the other morning when all this virus thing began to shake down. It's called My Hope Is in the Lord. I hope it'll bless you. Once you catch on, just sing it right there in web land with me. I'm going to bring in my drummer right now to help me out a little bit. Trusting in his love. Amen. Nothing to fear when Jesus is near. Well, we're going to sing a song here together. It's just been coming and going all week long in my spirit. I catch myself singing it at most every turn. And that is, God takes what the enemy meant for evil and he turns it for good. Let's sing it. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good, you turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good, you turn it for good. Oh yeah. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good, but you turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you turn every evil that comes our way into good for our life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You redeem it. You make it good on our behalf. For we are those who love you, and you are our God. Praise the Lord. Well, Terry's going to share a word with us that the Lord's put on her heart this week, and I'm going to turn it over to her right now.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to read a little passage before Scott shares his message, something that's been on my heart. It's a passage in Luke 8, and I'm just going to read it, and then we can talk about it. Luke 8, starting in verse 40, it says, "And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him." I love this, that Jairus, you know, he had need, but he said, you know what, I know where I can get help, even in the midst of all this turmoil and, you know, difficulty in my life. In verse 43, it says, "And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him, touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who is the one who touched me?' And while they were all denying it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out from me.' When the woman saw that she had not escaped noticed, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.' And while he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, 'Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore.' But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, 'Don't be afraid, but only believe, and she will be made well.' When he came to the house, he didn't allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, 'Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep.' And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Child, arise.' And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat, and her parents were amazed." You know, the point that I want to bring out with this is that Jairus came to Jesus when he had need, and he was walking close with God, and then he gets, you know, the bad news that his daughter has died. But what I love about it is that he was right there with Jesus. And even though things did not look good, you know, he was there and there was so many good things going on. You know, the woman with the hemorrhage, she was healed. So there was healings and different things going on. But for him, tragedy had struck. But he was right there close with Jesus, and Jesus spoke a word to him. And he said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And in the end, you know, she was raised up. Jesus raised her up and everything went well. And I just want to encourage you, you know, during this time, I don't know what you're facing right now, but I just encourage you to lean in to Jesus and to hear what he has to say to you. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday and we were talking about the importance of hearing a word from the Lord, you know, when we're facing difficulty or challenges. And it just means so much. When we have that word from God, it's like the specific, I was telling her, it's kind of like the magic bullet. It's exactly what we need to win in our hearts, you know, over fear and doubt and unbelief, but also just put the enemy to bed, just to silence him and whatever he's bringing at us. And I just encourage you right now just to lean into Jesus and just like Jairus, come to him with your needs. But like he told Jairus, he said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." So only believe. That's the word I want to share with you.
Praise God. Well, that's a good word. Only believe. Two words that'll keep your heart from being troubled in these times. Well, let's pray. And I've got some additional thoughts I want to share with you along those lines. About putting our trust in the Lord, about believing only in Him, completely in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We just thank you that you're with us and that you're watching over us, even in uncertain times, Father. We can be certain of this, that you love us and your love for us has never failed, never changes. It's consistent, Father, and we can depend on it. We can lean on it. We can rest on it. And we choose to only believe tonight as we look to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going on week two of church online or church on the web, however you want to put it. Sometimes we're church on the move. This week we're church on the web. And I just want to remind you of a couple things. You know, it's interesting. I've heard some commentary lately on all that's happened in our country with the big virus outbreak and then the subsequent economic shakeup. And, you know, I'm reminded of some things. I was going to do a series sometime this year. I hadn't planned it out exactly and how we were going to do it, but I've been listening to quite a bit to Dave Ramsey on the radio, and he has some basic pointers when it comes to financial preparation, and it really plugs in right along with what we've been teaching on kingdom finances. And one of the things he shares about is having at least a minimum of $1,000 cash on hand as an emergency fund for unexpecteds. And you know, in times like this, when things get a little shaken up, it's great to have that cash reserve on hand. And then he goes on to say you should have 3 to 6 months' wages set aside. Whatever your monthly outgo is on average each month, you should put that aside in a big lump sum emergency fund of 3 to 6 months. That's just plumb good advice. And, you know, in a time like this when people are being sent home from work or temporarily laid off, if you're in the restaurant or hospitality industry, it could equate to a temporary layoff. But, you know, having that 3 to 6 months reserve, it sounds really extreme. In some cases, that would be in the thousands of dollars for some of you for what you earn on an average month. But you set aside 3 to 6 months wages as a reserve on to keep on hand. And in times like this, you're not shaken at all. You look at it and go, wow, I'm on vacation. So anyways, it's just great advice. It seems like probably something that the average American doesn't pay heed to. But if even the airline industries had done it, we wouldn't be looking at helping them out so much financially as a country right now. But there you go. It's a couple of financial tips from Dave Ramsey. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to remind you that God, by His Spirit, when He wrote this book called the Bible, He saw days like this coming ahead. And He described them through the mouth of Paul. Paul is an apostle, but Paul often spoke as a prophet too. You know, Paul, his writings to the church, his words to the church are considered the part of the prophetic, inspired word of God. And so in a sense, we could call Paul not only an apostle, but a prophet because he contributed to the written word of God, which puts him in that class of like being an Old Testament prophet whose writings would be a part of the book. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 in the King James Version, it says this: "This know also that in the last days perilous times will come." Perilous times. Paul was mentoring Timothy and he said this. He used this word. I like in the King James the rendering there. Perilous times. That's the times we're living in. These are dangerous times. These are perilous times. They're riddled with peril. And now we don't need to be troubled by that peril, but the truth of the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus isn't afraid to speak truth. He told the apostles, he said, you know, I'm about to go back to the Father. In the world, you'll have persecution, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. But Jesus wasn't afraid to tell them like it was. He told them straight, this is what's going to happen. In the world, this is what you're going to get. And he said it here again in 2 Timothy 3:1. He said, perilous times will come. And then skipping on down to verse 12 in that same chapter, he says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So he said, terrible times are coming. Persecution's coming. Verse 13 even goes on to say it even more. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So evil is going to be on the increase in these perilous times that Paul's talking about. But, he says in verse 14, and there's always a but in God's word that's able to counter evil. Aren't you glad? He says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which you have learned." You know, we said it last week. We said the old slogan from Great Britain during World War II was "keep calm and carry on." And that's essentially what Paul says here to Timothy. He says, listen, all this trouble's coming in the last days. He said, evil's going to wax worse and worse. Perilous times are going to come. Persecution's going to come. But continue. Continue, Timothy. In other words, don't be deterred by all this. Don't be distracted by all of it. And
You know, I would say that that's a word for us in this hour, church. Whatever your goals were for 2020, those goals haven't changed at all. Whatever God promised you he's going to do in your life in 2020, that hasn't changed at all. Don't be distracted by this storm. Yes, we need to stay in touch. Yes, we need to be on the alert. Yes, we need to be ready to distribute the goodness of God and the peace of God and the provision of God wherever people need it in this hour. But we don't need to be distracted. We are a focused people. Whatever God told you going into the new year he was going to do in your life, he's still committed to see that through to the end. And we need to be just as committed. We need to be just as focused to move toward those goals. The ladies, we did a lot of work in the last year with you on vision boards. I hope you'll keep that vision board before you now more than ever. And don't let this hiccup or this distraction of the coronavirus in any way deter you from what God is leading you in that vision, ladies. Just go for it. Well, there was a prominent prophet in the body of Christ recently that sent out a tweet, and I got word of it. I want to share it with you because it'll encourage you, and it was this. He said this. He said, quote, this is what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spoke to his heart. So he said this. He said, this disease will be over much sooner than you think. He said, Christian prayers have overwhelmed it. Let me read that once more. This disease will be over much sooner than you think, for Christian prayers have overwhelmed it. Praise the Lord. That goes along with the scripture I shared a week ago, too, that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I'm telling you, saints, good news is on the horizon, and we're hoping for a great Easter celebration together. I hope we can be back together again. We'll see what the Lord does. I'm not making any promises till I have confirmation from the sources that be. So, but be in prayer with us that we can all be together on Easter and just celebrate the goodness of God, the authority of God in crushing the coronavirus. And I believe that prophetic word that was spoken by that minister, that prominent minister recently, that this disease, this horrible virus is going to be stomped out sooner than we think, for our prayers have overwhelmed it. Praise God. Well, I want to share with you tonight, I want to share with you about combating two very subtle lies that can come to us in times like this. And this is good. Actually, this is a good dress rehearsal for the rest of 2020, to be honest with you. Now, I'm not wishing evil on anybody, and I'm certainly not in any way taking lightly the sufferings of people that are going on right now. There's a lot of suffering going on out there. Praise God. The Lord has had Terry and I in a time of preparation the last year and a half to 2 years. And I have to say, praise the Lord, we're walking in more peace than we've ever walked in terms of our financial affairs. God is leading us, and I know he's leading you. Some of you are starting to get a hold of these principles we've been teaching about kingdom finances, and you're seeing the results. I'm hearing great testimonies of people there's been a lot of breakthrough this year. A lot of bonuses were paid out that people weren't expecting. A lot of just wonderful things happening in your finances, and us too. But there's a couple of subtle lies that the enemy would like to bring that I think we need to address so that we can combat them effectively. Okay, are you ready? Number one is this subtle lie, nagging anxiety. Nagging anxiety. Now, I'm not talking about the biggies. I mean, I think for most of us, we're past the initial shock and awe of this outbreak, this virus outbreak. But there can be a nagging anxiety that still lingers in the back of your mind or the back of my mind that the enemy would like to use as a seed to grow a worry tree, if you will. And let me just give you some examples. And what happens is if this stuff is unvoiced, if we don't address it head on and really deal with it, as I said, it can take root, and it, before you know it, it can become a tree of anxiousness in our hearts. And I mean, for example, most of us are hearing about in the public arena right now, what if I really do run out of toilet paper? I mean, that's a biggie. In seriousness, people are concerned about supplies right now. But I want to tell you, you know, if you'll just take the Lord day by day, and trust him. If you need something specific, you need bars of soap, or you need toilet paper, or you need this, or you need that, ask the Lord, and then trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. He can creatively direct you to a store you would never have guessed might have those supplies. You might be wondering, a question like this could rise in your heart. What about next month's income? You might be doing okay this month, but, you know, next month could be looming over your head. And you could be, you know, fine on the outside. Everybody could walk up to you, say, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. We're not worried about this coronavirus at all. But you could have one little nagging anxiety, one little nagging fear that's just pulling at your mind and pulling at your heart. And I'm just telling you, these things need to be addressed. Well, Philippians 4:6 says this. It reminds us of how to deal with anxiety. This is a good prescription. Since we're talking about drugs to counter the coronavirus and all this pharmaceutical talk that's going on right now about coming up with a remedy medically for this sickness, I'm going to go ahead and give you my prescription for this nagging anxiety we're talking about. And it's found in Philippians 4:6. It says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. And see, that's the thing that sometimes we're negligent in. As I said, these concerns will nag at us, they'll pull at us, but we don't take them to God. And it tells us right here in Philippians 4:6, this is how you stay worry-free. You let your request be made known. So I have to ask you, have you prayed about it? If you haven't, take time and actually voice those concerns. God's not going to be shaking off his throne for you to be concerned about where you're going to get your next paycheck or your next roll of toilet paper. He won't be concerned with it. But he wants you not to be concerned with it either. And that's why he says here, let your request be made known. It's very important that we voice our request, that we voice our concerns with the Father. Let it get off of your chest and onto him. Let him carry it. Matthew 6:34 is another good passage when it comes to anxiety, especially nagging fears, nagging concerns about provision. Look at Matthew 6:34 with me. Matthew 6:34 says this. Now, most of us know Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But we often stop at 34. Listen to what he says in verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I like it in the New International Translation. It says this, each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hey, you've got enough trouble today to be worrying about tomorrow. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. This is a great quote. Listen to this. She said this, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. In other words, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That's so good. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Listen, you can't carry 2 days at once. And Jesus said it. He said the way to be worry-free, Matthew 6:34, in part two of the first part of the antidote, first seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then the second part of the antidote is sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Take no thought for the morrow. Sometimes we're thinking too far down the road. And I know this sounds almost immature, it might sound almost irresponsible, but you know, this is kingdom thinking, saints, and we have to think like God's children, not and children of the kingdom, not children of the world. And children of the kingdom think like this. We don't look too far down the road, because every day has enough trouble of its own, and God has given us grace for today. His provision for tomorrow will be in tomorrow. Now, if he provides early or he provides ahead of time, great. But if he doesn't, I'm only going to think about today's concerns, because every day has enough trouble of its own. And you need to learn to live that way. If you're not already living that way, you need to shut off your antenna looking so far down the road that you're worrying about tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next month, 3 months from now. Listen, toilet paper will be back on the shelves in no time. And I'm rejoicing over it. I like my toilet paper. I like the brand I like. I don't like to pick the leftovers. So listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Hey, I want to talk to you about another part of this equation about trust. And it's found in Psalms 4 and verse 5. We're just going to really pound in this stake about trust tonight. All right? Psalms 4 and verse 5. I like it in the King James because there's a word here that's so important. It really, it's a nugget of truth. You know, sometimes these little words in the Bible can lead you down a gold mine shaft of just full of riches. And this is one of those verses. Psalm 4, verse 5. In the King James, it says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness, or offer right sacrifices. And the last part of the verse says, and put your trust in the Lord. I like that word put, because it speaks to me of placing the full weight upon. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I trust a little bit in my bank account. I trust a little bit in my vitamins. I trust a little bit in my doctor's diagnosis. I trust a little bit in my company's stock. And I trust a little bit in the Lord. But it says here to put our trust in the Lord. Putting your trust in the Lord means you rest your full weight upon Him. I mean, you know, it's good to have all these other reserves. It's good to have all these other things. But listen, saints, our trust should be fully in the Lord. I know that sounds real basic, but you know, again, in times like this, what we tend to do is look around us. We hear the headlines and we get a little shaken. And so we start to reach for the things that give us security. Listen, there's only one thing, and it's actually not a thing. It's a person that should bring us security. And that's the Lord. It's His goodness. I'm reminded of that song, Isn't He Wonderful? Isn't He Wonderful? Listen, how many times has the Lord not failed you? How many times has He come through? You've been anxious about something, and when the Lord answers, He answers in style. I mean, He puts icing on the cake. He puts a candle on the icing. He always answers far above the need, and He answers with such grace. Isn't He wonderful? If He's been wonderful in your life in the past, don't you think He's going to continue being wonderful in the future? Well, we know He will. Mark 7:37 in the King James Version says this, He doeth all things well. I love that verse. He doeth all things well. Listen, again, the Lord, when He supplies our needs, He supplies in style. He does it right. And in the context of that verse there in Mark 7, it's talking about Jesus giving deaf healing. He made the deaf to hear. He made the dumb to speak. I like to think of Him as the great reverser. The great reverser. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good promise? Jesus is the Redeemer, which means He's able to reverse things. If a person comes to Him who's deaf, He can reverse that deafness and give them the ability to hear. If they come to Him dumb, unable to speak, He can reverse that and give them the tongue of the learned. I mean, Jesus is amazing. He is the great reverser. Listen, if your bank account's empty today, He can reverse it and fill it tomorrow. Hey, I got news for you. There's a check in the mail. Not because I said it, and not because the government said it, but because the Holy Spirit has said it. If you'll go back and listen to my message on March the 1st, the Lord spoke through me. I didn't even plan for my message to take this slant the way it did, but He reminded us in 2 Corinthians 9:11. He said, you will be made rich. I mean, that was the promise from God's heart to us as a church body, even in the midst of and just entering into this time of frenzy around this virus. The Lord said, you will be made rich. In other words, church, I'm going to take care of you. 2020 is a year full of promise. 2020 is a year full of goodness and abundance and provision from the Lord. I'm telling you, good things are coming your way. And I want to remind you to get out your prayer list. Go back and look at the things you've been asking the Lord for lately. You know, you've been crying out to God for some new car tires or a new dress or a new whatever it is. I'm telling you, saints, the Lord is answering your prayer in 2020, and good things are coming your way. Good things. Well, I want to reiterate this idea of putting our trust in the Lord just a little further. Look at, you're already in Psalms, so just turn to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. I was reading this passage the other day. This is actually what inspired that song, My Hope is in the Lord, that I sang earlier. It's Psalm 130, verse 7 and verse 8. I'm going to read it to you in the New International Version from 1984, which sometimes just nails things just right. And it says here, even just the one letter in the opening part of the sentence, Oh, Israel. I love that. Oh, not just Israel, but Oh, Israel. Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. That means he's never, ever, ever going to let you down. And with him is full redemption. Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. Placing the full weight of our hope and our trust in the Lord. Why? Why can we do that? Because with the Lord is unfailing love. In other words, he's never going to let you down. With him is full redemption. In other words, he's going to cover all the bases. Whatever it is you need, the Lord's got you covered. We've said it before. And verse 8 says this. I love this. Boy, this is so powerful. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Another translation says, from all his iniquities. He himself. That reminds me of that passage in Isaiah 53 where it says, surely he himself bore all of our pains and sufferings. Surely he himself. Listen, Jesus took the nails for you. Jesus took the pain for you and I. Surely he himself will redeem Israel. He's going to take care of all your troubles, church. Just rely on him. Put your trust. That's a deliberate act on our part. This is the part that we have to play in this trust thing. And that is we take our trust. And instead of saying, okay, I'm leaning on my insurance policy, I'm leaning on this or I'm leaning on that, we decide where we're going to lean. You know, I've never ridden a Segway, but it's on my goals list here in the next year or two to get on one of those Segways, those things you stand upright on. And when you start to lean forward, it goes forward. And if you lean back, it goes back. Because wherever you lean, it goes in that direction. And I'm just reminded of that. With that idea of putting your trust or putting your hope in the Lord, we actually, by our deliberate will, choose where we're going to put our trust. And I'm admonishing you tonight, church, to put your full weight on the Lord. Don't rely on your paycheck anymore. Don't rely on your job. Don't rely on the things that have been security around you. And this times like this are actually a good test for us to see, where have I been putting my trust? Where is my heart really leaning? Which direction am I really leaning? Am I leaning fully on the Lord? Well, if you haven't been, there's no condemnation. Just want to encourage you to do it tonight. Oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Well, the second subtle lie that the enemy tries to bring us in times like this, I'm just going to finish up with this real quickly, is that not only does he try to bring nagging fears or nagging anxieties to our mind that just eat at us like a little worm or a little bug just gnawing at us, but he also gets us to questioning God's love. The enemy wants to cause you to question the love of God towards you. And I know none of us would say that, you know, I'm not sure God really loves me. We may not be consciously saying that out loud. But subconsciously, many times, we can begin to wonder, is God angry with me? Is this virus going to come around and bite me because maybe I haven't been walking the walk or talking the talk or walking straight in line? I just want to shatter that lie right now that the enemy would try to bring your way, saints. Listen, this virus, I don't believe is the judgment of God. If it were the judgment of God against the ungodly, that does not affect me or the way I think about the Lord or his love toward me. In fact, none of this outbreak should cast any doubt in my mind. Why? Because I know my covenant. I know the anchored foundation of the new covenant. And it's found in this verse in Hebrews chapter 8. So just bear with me a little bit longer. We're going to look at a couple more verses here. Hebrews chapter 8. In verse 10, this is God's description of the new covenant that Jesus ratified in his blood. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. He said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. What does he mean by after that time? Well, it's after the cross, after the new time. That's the big turning point in the history of mankind, in the history of Israel, was after that time. It was after the cross, which is the time we're living in. He says, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. That's what God does with us as his children. He's constantly writing his do's and don'ts in our hearts, just quietly through the Holy Spirit and with love. He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. And this is the clause that makes this whole covenant work. This is the pivot point, excuse me, the hinge, if you will, that makes this all work for you and I. For I will, verse 12, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God says, I will remember their sins no more. You have to understand, saints, in the new covenant, this is the beauty of it that is so much greater than the old covenant. God does not remember our sins. Because of the blood of Jesus, how powerful that blood is that was shed at Calvary. We live under a covenant of God's divine favor 24/7. Even when we sin, even when we step outside the lines of love and God's truth, God's love never changes toward us, and he does not remember our sins or our wickedness any longer. That should not endorse a sinful lifestyle. That should remind us of how loved we are and how powerful is this new covenant. But I just want to say this, because God does not remember your sins. Listen, if you sinned a month before the coronavirus broke out, this virus didn't break out to come chase you down. No, God says, under this new covenant, I will remember your sins no more. He's not looking on America and looking at certain people here and trying to get them with the virus. No, this is a work of the evil one. And God says here, listen, after that time, after the time of the cross, I will remember your sins no more. I'm telling you, saints, we're living in the glory days right now. So this is why we should not be shaken in the least by this virus. We should just remind ourselves, I am loved by God. He remembers my sins no more. One more verse here in Romans 8:38, speaking of the new covenant. This is really the anchor verse for my message tonight. What I gave you earlier was just appetizers. Romans 8:38 says this. I'm going to back up to verse 37 to catch it all in context. He says, in all these things, in the coronavirus, in layoffs, in temporary working from home situations or questions about tomorrow, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You need to know your love tonight. You need to be assured of that love. And don't let anything shake you from knowing that God is smiling on you 24/7, 365, because of the blood of Jesus. He says, for I'm convinced. Paul said, I'm convinced. And I want to ask you tonight and make sure that you're settled with this. And if there's any nagging fear, just let the spotlight of God's word shine on those fears, shine on those doubts, any doubts the enemy's tried to bring in your mind about how much God loves you. Let the word of God shine on it tonight and just drive that thing into the crevices of forgetfulness. He says, I'm convinced, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, present nor future, or any powers, height or depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, he said. And in verses earlier, he said, I meant to read this verse too. Verse 35, he said, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, none of these things. You could lump the coronavirus right in there. It's right in there with things like famines, big earth-shattering events. He says, nothing will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Saints, the love of God for you is settled forever in the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. And after that time, as the writer in Hebrews says, after that time, after the cross, there's a day coming, and we're living in that day right now where God says, I'll remember your sin never again, which means he'll never be angry with you. Saints, God doesn't have a reason to be angry with you. He doesn't have a reason to break out in any kind of judgment on you or anybody else in the body of Christ, even if they're not walking perfectly. God says, after that time, after that cross, I will remember their sins no more. And that's why he says, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Praise the Lord. Nothing, I'm going to read that last part again. Nothing in all creation, nor anything in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate you from his love. Hallelujah. This is a great covenant. Listen, we we are always looking at the good side of the old covenant. There's some fantastic blessings that were given to the Israelites in the old covenant. But I want to tell you, as great as that covenant was, the new covenant far surpasses it. You'll see that we're just about to finish the book of Hebrews in our Bible reading, which reminds me I need to get my new Bible bookmark out to you real soon. We're gonna have an announcement on that real shortly. But, you know, we're finishing the book of Hebrews, and all through that book you'll see these phrases. How much more? How much more? How much more? This new covenant we're walking in is so far greater. And this is just one example of why this covenant is greater. It's actually the main example. The main reason is found in that passage in Hebrews 8:12 that we read. Because God remembers our sin no more. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? God is not angry at you. He is happy with you today and tomorrow and the rest of your life because of the blood of Jesus. Well, you know, we've been hearing a lot about Psalm 91 lately. In fact, we've been including it in a lot of our recordings. We've quoted it to you several times. And you know, in the opening lines of that chapter, he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place," the secret place. And you know, I was thinking the other day about that idea of what is the secret place. And part of what I believe the secret place is the place of trust. I really believe that, of course, in the bigger context, I believe the secret place is he that is in Christ Jesus dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I believe that about Psalm 91. It's a powerful chapter which really speaks of being just found in Christ. When we're in him, all these promises and these blessings are ours. But that secret place speaks to me of a place of trust. A place of trust. And I just want to remind you again tonight, put your full trust in the Lord. If you start to feel yourself slip, your heart may slip out of that place of rest momentarily. Listen, if you start to feel anxious, I want you to stop, identify that anxiety, really give attention to it, shine the spotlight on it, if you will, and notice it and actually bring it to the forefront. And then turn it around as a prayer request. Turn it around as Philippians 4:6 said, make all your requests known to God. Go ahead and verbalize it. God, I'm anxious about such and such. God, I'm feeling anxiety over such and such. I'm feeling turmoil about such and such. I give this to you, Father, and I place my full trust in you. I put my trust in you. Hallelujah. You might say it this way. Terry was asking me for a title of the message earlier this evening. I said, well, I could go with this. The secret's in the pudding. That's kind of a play on words. The secret's in the pudding. I love pudding. Don't bring me pudding. I don't need any pudding this week. I'm trying to minimize my sweets while I'm working from home. But the secret is in the pudding. Where are you putting your trust? Praise the Lord. Well, let me pray for you. Father, we thank you tonight that your word makes it clear that we can put our trust in you, that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to allow any condemning voices of impending doom or judgment, Lord, because you have forgiven us of all of our sins and you remember them no more because of the beauty and the majesty of this new covenant. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that we can put our whole trust, all of our weight, we can lean upon you. Put the full weight of our trust on you and you alone. Our trust is in a person. Our trust is in you, Father. It's not in things. As wonderful as things are, hey, we're a society of comforts. We like comforts in America. And I like comforts too. But Lord, you are the comforter. And so we put our trust and our leaning upon a person, not things. And Lord, we just thank you tonight that you help us identify any area where the devil's been successful in bringing anxiety or anxiousness or concern about tomorrow. Lord, we choose to take your word and be doers of it and be those who will only give thought for today. Now, we can plan for tomorrow, Lord, but we won't worry about tomorrow. We understand that's what you meant by that. You said, don't worry about tomorrow because every day has enough trouble to deal with. And we thank you that you give us grace for today, and you're teaching us not to look so far down the road that we allow anxiety to build in our hearts. Lord, we're not worried about what's on the other side of this virus because we know you are, and good things are where you are. And we thank you that the rest of 2020 holds wonderful promise for us, great things, great promise, great victory, more to come, Lord. How much more? We thank you, Father. And we'll stay focused. We'll stay focused on what you called us to in this year, in Jesus' name. Saints, I just want to remind you of that. Do not let all of this, you know, I'm keeping a good pulse on the news updates because I want to get back in a church building as quick as we can together. But listen, I'm telling you, we should be doubly focused on what God's called us to do. He said, occupy till I come. I want to encourage you to find out, Lord, what was it you said I was supposed to do in 2020? Oh, yeah. And get busy doing it. And don't get distracted with this other. I know we need to keep tabs on things and find out, you know, when we can all get back together again, etc. But keep your focus on the Lord and His call in your life. And 2020 is going to be a fantastic year for all of us. Hallelujah. We love you. And again, I just want to reiterate, keep your eye on the church app. We're going to be sending out announcements there. So don't neglect that. Check in with that pretty regular. We'll have announcements at least once a week, if not two or three times on different things. We hope to have the Bible bookmarks out to you real soon. Keep praying for each other. Keep encouraging each other. Text and call each other. Listen, you just because the virus has shut us out of a building temporarily does not mean we are no longer the church. We are still the church now more than ever. And we're hearing great testimonies. I heard a great testimony today from someone in our church of God moving through them, touching other people's lives. Hey, that just makes me excited. I get thrilled hearing about the church being the church. So keep shining your light out there in that dark world, and we'll see you real soon. We love you. Let us know your prayer request. Let us know if you need anything. We've got some extra supplies on hand. We've even got extra toilet paper. So let us know if you need some, and we'll get it to you one way or the other. We love you. We'll see you soon.